Hello everyone, this is Chuck Fry from the Mind Mapping Software blog, and welcome to the April 2011 Mind Mapping Coaching Call. Thanks to those of you who submitted questions, I think we've got some very good ones this month. Without further ado, let's get started. Anthony asks, I would love to buy some mind mapping software, and I've been evaluating offerings for years and given up. I seek a product that offers what Lotus Agenda had. In mind mapping software terms, this is akin to being able to relate items that are not linearly connected to each other. Then the important part is to be able to redraw the map based on different points of view, or views as they're called in Agenda. Lotus Agenda was brilliant in that it allowed a person to extract more from their own mind than they could see for themselves, not merely map what they can already see. So what do you think? Are there any offerings out there that come close to this? Anthony, I think the program that comes closest to what you describe is Personal Brain. Most mind mapping programs enable you to create topics with one parent and multiple child topics. And you can also connect topics that are related to one another but not physically close to each other using relationship lines. But these programs are somewhat limited in the types of relationships you can depict. The nice thing about Personal Brain is that it lets you connect any node in your visual map to any other node. Also, just as important as you navigate your map, the entire map reorients itself around the currently selected topic. So it gives you kind of like the dynamic view of your information that you indicated you were looking for or that you were trying to recreate. Personal Brain can be found at www.thebrain.com. I hope this is helpful, Anthony. Andrew asks, I often use a mind map to sketch out an essay or a piece of writing. When nearly finished, I then export it to Microsoft Word and then work on the piece in that application. The issue I have is that I'd like the version of my document in Word to be just another view of the map and for the dynamic relationship between them to remain intact. In other words, so I could work on the Word document and it would update the mind map and vice versa. Do you think this is possible and has anyone done it? Andrew, I don't know of any program that lets you move back and forth seamlessly between a mind mapping view and Microsoft Word with one updating the other. It does sound like an intriguing possibility, though. But Word is a very complex program, and so is the average mind mapping application, so I don't know if they could ever be connected with each other at such a deep level. There may be some possibility in the future of some of these bare-bones writing apps where it's just you just have a bare screen and you can just type. That I could see potentially being partnered with a mind mapping application at some point because these bare bones writing environments are much less complex than Word is. But let's look for a moment at this in a slightly different way. My colleague Roger C. Parker, who's author of the Published and Profitable blog and dozens of books about how to get published, encourages his readers to utilize mind mapping software to create a visual outline of their books. Each major topic of the map represents a single chapter. For the second level topics, you list the concepts that will be covered in each chapter. He then recommends that you use your program's topic notes functionality to capture additional information or ideas. Basically, if it's more than a few words in length, it goes into topic notes. When you have finished this process, you export your map to Microsoft Word, and viola, you have your chapters already partially written and have a great head start on writing your book. Let's assume for a moment that instead of exporting your mind map to Word, that you continue to write using your mind mapping program as the platform to do so. Many mind mapping programs have an outline view, which gives you a more linear way of looking at your writing. It's a fully editable view, so you should be able to work on your essay here in a more linear format, adding multiple paragraphs of content under each chapter heading and subheading. What I'm suggesting is that you stick with the mind map software a bit longer in the writing process, but use your program's outline view to enable you to look at your writing in a more traditional view like you're talking about. Then at the very end of your writing process, export your map to Word and clean up the text formatting. I'd love to learn more about why you feel the need to move back and forth between Word and a mind map. The way Roger describes it, the valuable part is outline map format because it enables you to clearly see what's missing, what needs to be expanded or clarified, and what's superfluous. It's kind of like a skeletal view of the structure of your writing, something that's invisible in Microsoft Word or any other document creation and editing software. Once you're satisfied that you have a complete and accurate outline, then you can move everything over to Word to put flesh on the bones, so to speak. I'm not sure why you would want to be able to move back to the mind map view. especially late in your writing process, please drop me an email at chuck@innovationtools.com. I'd love to know more about what you envision and, more importantly, why you want it to behave that way. Thanks for your thought-provoking question, Anthony. Barry asks, I wonder if you or your readers have experience using Mind Manager to facilitate online presentations, and if so, what are some of the pitfalls to watch for and best practices to adopt? Barry, that's an interesting question, but I have to qualify my answer because MindJet changed Mind Manager's presentation view significantly in version 9. In version 8 and prior versions, its presentation view behaved much like many other mind mapping programs. In other words, the presentation view strips away all the extraneous program interface elements, leaving a mind map that fills the screen and just a set of controls to navigate through your map during your presentation. Each time you advance it, the program displays one branch at a time and basically walks you clockwise around your map with some nice animated transitions from one branch to another. In this type of presentation view, there really aren't any best practices to speak of because the program really doesn't give you much control over what's displayed. The best thing you can do if you're using Mind Manager 8 or an earlier version is to make sure that your mind map is well organized. In other words, there should be a good flow from one topic to the next that your audience can easily follow along with. Mind Manager 9's presentation view is a whole different animal. In this version, you have a lot more control over what parts of your mind map should be displayed and in what order. MindJet basically redesigned the presentation mode of version 9 around a slideshow model. To use it, you simply click on a topic to select it and right-click to access the Make Slide from Branch command. You can also select topics using a drop-down list in a new Slides toolbar button in the program's view menu. And the selected topic and all of its subtopics appear as a slide in a vertical pane on the left side of the screen, much like PowerPoint. Within it, you can drag and drop slides to change their order. When you're ready to make your presentation, you simply click a slideshow button and Mind Manager 9 shows the familiar presentation view, only now instead of displaying your mind map with all of the topics collapsed and walking you around them arbitrarily one at a time, it shows the slide views you created one at a time. In this environment, you have much more control, as I said earlier, and that means you have to think much more carefully about what you're showing your audience in each slide you're creating. The biggest challenge is making sure that your topics and subtopics are arranged in a logical order, like I said earlier. There's nothing worse than a presentation of any kind that jumps around from one topic to another with no apparent logic to the sequence. Each point in your presentation should logically build upon the last one so your audience members can mentally track what you're saying. As with your conventional PowerPoint slides, your map views should support what you're saying but not overwhelm your audience with information. If too many bullet points on one slide is a bad thing, then displaying too many branches and sub-branches in a single slide created with Mind Manager 9 may be an even worse presentation sin. That's because many of the people who are going to be sitting in on your presentation may not be all that familiar with mind maps, and they may have never seen a speaker present from one. The specter of map shock always looms in the background when you're sharing information using a visual format like this. In other words, you don't want to overwhelm the people with whom you're trying to communicate. Otherwise, they might just mentally shut down and stop paying attention to your presentation. So my advice to you is to keep it simple. Certainly, you can show more branches in a single slide, but only if you're providing an overview of a section of your presentation and you plan to drill down within that individual branch to the topics within it. I think you need to be even more careful to make sure there's a good logical flow from one side to the next. Certainly if you do the opposite of displaying too many branches in a single slide, in other words, displaying a slide with a single solitary branch without some build-up to it, then your audience might not understand you because one branch alone might be very much out of context. It might leave some members of your audience scratching their heads and asking themselves, okay, so how did we get here? I'd strongly recommend that if you create a presentation using any mind mapping software, that you do a test run with someone who you know is a mind mapping newbie. He or she should be able to give you some honest, unvarnished feedback about what's understandable and what left them saying, "What the hell?" Doing a test presentation with someone you trust gives you a valuable opportunity to remove or fix any ambiguous elements of your presentation, so you and your presentation will be at their most clear and persuasive when you're in front of your actual audience. For more advice, I would check the MindJet website. They communicate a lot of helpful advice in their blog, plus they run monthly webcasts, which also have a strong how-to type of focus. I took a look at the webcasts page of their site, but didn't see one specifically on making effective presentations. You can view the list of past webcasts, which you can watch at any time, at this URL, www.mindjet.com/community/webcasts/events/library. I would write to MindJet and suggest that they do one on the best practices for making presentations with Mind Manager. I didn't see a contact on the MindJet blog, but they do have a Facebook page that seems to be pretty active, and it's a great place to ask questions. I would post a message there about this idea, because I'm sure many other Mind Manager users would benefit from it too. Howard asks, I know this may have come up before, but why is it so hard to develop a sophisticated mind mapping program for the Mac? Programs like DropMind and Mind Manager are clearly designed primarily for Windows. Mind Manager has a Mac version, but it's behind in features compared to the Windows one. iMindMap has a Mac version, but it's not a native Mac program. It takes a long time to load, and the new version seems to have some bugs. Novamind has a great Windows version, but their new Novamind 5 for Mac seems to be behind schedule. I purchased the upgrade to Novamind 5 in October 2009, and it's just now in beta. It was originally scheduled for release in early 2010. Do you know the reasons why it's so difficult to develop a sophisticated mind mapping program for Mac? Howard, I feel your pain, and I'm not sure in most cases that it's a development problem, but more than likely a marketing one. In other words, the population of Windows users is much larger than that of the Mac. So if I'm a developer and I'm going to spend thousands of man hours and many dollars writing a sophisticated piece of software, then I want to earn a return on my investment. So I'm going to aim for the biggest possible market of potential users, which happens to be the people who use Windows-powered PCs. Don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to minimize the impact or importance of the Mac in any way by stating that. I'm just saying that they will generally make updates and improvements for the Windows versions of their programs first, and then after that's done, update to the Mac version. There may be some reasons that are more development related, like how you interact at a code level with the Mac operating system, but I'm not a programmer and I don't have any knowledge of this, so I can't really speak to it, nor have I heard anything from any of the developers about writing for Windows for Mac. I can tell you, though, whether it's the Windows or Mac operating system, it's always a moving target, and that's one of the challenges for developers. As Windows, new versions of Windows come out and new versions of Mac OS X come out, they have to write to some of the hooks in those operating systems. Samit has several questions. We'll take them one at a time. First, how can you increase the font size of just the content that shows up under task info? Samit, I assume you're speaking of Mind Manager and the way it lists task start and end dates and the resource assigned to it underneath the topic in a tan-colored rectangular box. To the best of my knowledge, there's no way to adjust the font size of that data. He also asks, how can one copy and paste callout topics? Oftentimes, I need to use the same callout topics for different subtopics, and that's where this would be useful. I took a look at this in Mind Manager and discovered it's actually fairly easy to do. You simply select the callout that you want to duplicate, right-click and select the copy command. Then you right-click the topic where you want to place another instance of the callout and hover over the paste command. A submenu will pop out containing numerous options for pasting the contents of the clipboard into your map. One of those is a paste as callout command. Select that and it will insert your callout. It's that simple. Next question from Samit. How can one have two subtopics converge to become one subtopic? Currently I use a boundary and a callout to achieve the same effect, but I don't know if there's an alternative. Samit, I don't know of any way to actually merge two topics into one in Mind Manager, but you can achieve that effect visually by using the bracket type of boundary in the program, which doesn't surround the topic and subtopics, it just sits on one side of it as a bracket, and then place a floating topic next to it. Yet another question from Samit. Is there a way to copy and paste task info from one topic and subtopic to another, preserving the font, style, and size in the original task box? Not that I know of. All of the task information is entered into a task pane to the right of the map workspace, so it's kind of like metadata. And I looked at the right click and paste commands that Mind Manager has, which I referred to earlier, and it looks like it doesn't allow you to post paste just the task data. I tried it and all it did was copy and paste the topic and its task data. I don't know, maybe that could work for you. You could always copy and paste both and then modify both in their new location. Perhaps that will help you. That's it for the April Mind Mapping Coaching Call. Thanks again for sending me such great questions. Remember, you can submit them to me at any time at chuck@innovationtools.com. You can also use the feedback form on the blog, and you can send them to me via my Twitter account, which is simply Chuck Frey, C-H-U-C-K-F-R-E-Y, no spaces. I look forward to talking to you next month. And once again, this has been Chuck Frey from the Mind Mapping Software Blog, signing off. See you on the blog.